to kindly come up and read to us from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 to chapter 5, verse 2. Thank you, Alan.
Good morning. This morning's reading is on page 1176 of the Pew Bibles. 1176. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Nope. There's blue dots and yellow dots. 1091. So 1091 for the yellow ones.
1091 for the yellow dot. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. If in your anger do not sin, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ has forgiven you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we pray that these words are not my words, Lord, but that they are your words. And give us the ears to listen to what you want us to listen to, and our hearts to be open to what you would like us to know and to do to grow closer to you and to each other. In your name, Jesus. Amen. So, as we continue through the book of Ephesians, we come now and next week to more practical and applicable parts of our faith. We remember that Paul was writing to the church of Ephesus, which is in Turkey, and that church was mostly Gentile. And throughout the book of Ephesians, Paul is encouraging them because, like any community, it is having difficulty in holding together, in where things are being said that are hurtful, members are falling out with each other, and they're failing to recognize the bond that unites them in Christ. So against that background, I'm just giving another short summary of the previous chapters and what Jeff spoke to us as we remember in chapters 1 to 3 in the beginning of chapter 4. So chapters 1 to 3 really focused on unity in Christ, reminding us that as believers, we have been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and freed from sin. Hallelujah! In order to live out lives in the fullness of Christ, as Jeff reminded us a couple of weeks ago. And then chapter 4 started last week, focusing on the unity in the body of Christ, so all of us as members, as we are each part of the church and can each use our spiritual gifts to build up each other and to build up the church. Now in verses 17 to 24, which are just before today's reading, Paul contrasts the way that non-believers live with the way that believers live. Believers have learned to put away their old corrupt being and put on a new identity in the likeness of God. That's what it says in verse 24, just before the verse 25 that Alan started to read to us. And that's what we're going to focus on today. Today and next week, we will explore this further, to see how Paul translates that practically and encourages us to live lives as believers in Christ with the Holy Spirit as our guide, rather than being guided by selfish desires and worldly ways of living. Paul is leading us on how to live outside the church in the world, but not of it. Remember Romans 12, verse 2, that says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So in these verses, in being imitators of Christ, as it states in chapter 5, verse 2, Paul is guiding the Ephesians and us on putting off the ways of the world and putting on the way of Christ, basically in our communication, our speech, and in our actions. So if we start with communications and speech, our passage starts with verse 25. Where Paul is urging us to be truthful to ourselves by putting off falsehood and then putting on Christ's way in our speech by speaking truthfully. Our new life begins with the truth. We must let go of what is false and speak the truth. In this day of fake news, of post-truth, it's even more important not to be in like a habit of lying or people pleasing. Think of the basis of any relationship. It's truth that builds trust and strengthens relationship, and lying and falsehood that breaks them. And that's why speech, words, communication are just so important. So to speak truthfully, however, we first have to put off falsehood. So what does that mean? It means examine ourselves and ensure that our motives are not false. Are we trying to people please? Are we trying to make someone feel bad in order to build ourselves up? Are we saying something to someone that we perhaps are not willing to sort out in ourselves first? Now, this is not easy to take time to think about before we speak. It's much easier to just speak. But to think first about our own sin, our hypocrisy, our compromise, our deceit, and to deal with that before being able to speak truthfully to others is a real game changer. And it is hard. But remember, being Christians is not about having an easy life. Remember the cross. It's about choosing Christ's way, Christ's words, and Christ's actions. And it's essential to building up the body of church and showing love to one another. And it will then be easier when we do this to ensure that no unwholesome talk will come out from our mouths, as Paul directs us further in verse 29. Now, this word unwholesome, it's quite a mild translation. The Greek word used is sapros, which means rotten or corrupt, which is, for me, a little bit more than just unwholesome. So, of course, this would include swear words and words said in anger, as we'll see in verse 26, but also words that are nasty or belittling or humiliating. So this doesn't mean that we can't criticize or stop saying things to guide and correct each other. That's what we're called to do, to build each other up, and even if they're hard to hear. But instead, to speak these words in an encouraging and helpful way to build each other up, as it says in the last part of that same verse in verse 29. So, words are important. They can build up or destroy. And as Christians, we have to therefore be clear and careful of what we say or not say, because even silence can be hurtful. So let's all really make an effort this week to really think before we say something or not say something to somebody. Let's check out our motives. Let's put off gossip, judgment, lies, hypocrisy, and instead, let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us to put on love, making the way we speak part of Christ's work of grace in our world. So that's for speech and communications. But then Paul is talking a lot about actions as well. So if that's not hard enough, let's go a bit deeper. It is hard enough. The speech is already hard for me. I speak a lot. That has been really hard for me to prepare because I've got to do this too. But Paul is also guiding the Ephesians and us on our actions. There's a lot of worldly actions here to put off and Christ-like actions to put on, and only in a couple of verses. So here goes. Verse 24, Paul tells us not to steal. Now as for lying, deceit is the root of it and can become a habit if left unchecked. Even just taking things that don't belong to us that may seem small, let's just check out what we're doing. We all have heard the example in offices, you know, when we take stationery from the offices or if we do photocopying, you know, of our own things. I'm using an example that's close to my home in my office. You know, let's have a think about that. Is that stealing? I'm not going to go into any debate now. I'm just saying, let's check our motives. Let's have a look. Because even if we can start doing little things, bigger things maybe then become easier. So let's just keep it in check. I think that's what we needed to do. Because it's the same as speaking. Check our hearts before taking something that doesn't belong to us, before saying something. Paul also talks about anger. This is a hard one. In verse 26, he says, "Do not let your anger cause you to sin." Now, he's not saying don't be angry. He's saying it's important to deal with our anger properly. If we don't, it can either hurt and or destroy relationships when it's vented thoughtlessly, or cause bitterness and resentment when it's bottled up and destroy us from within. So Paul is telling us to deal with our anger quickly, not to let a day go by without resolving the issue. Verse 27, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Now this is really helpful advice. One of our previous pastors told us this when preparing for our marriage. He said, never go to bed angry with each other. Talk it out, even if you're tired. Now, that's hard for my husband because I can talk a lot. So if he's tired, I thank him for the grace he has to listen to me when this happens, because we still do this 17 years later and we still get a good night's sleep. And we talk it out. And sometimes it can take a while, but it really makes a difference. And so that, I think, is important. In verse 27, Paul goes on to say, don't give the devil a foothold. And that's what he's talking about here. If we leave the anger unchecked, if we don't deal with it, the devil loves that. He has a foothold. And anger can become obsessive. If people bear a grudge, if they don't forgive or they don't deal with it quickly. And then in verse 47, if that's not enough, Paul goes further to tell us to get rid of bitterness, slander, rage, malice, and anger in all forms, because they give the devil a foothold and because they keep a barrier between us and God and between each other. So of course, we don't want that, do we? As Christians, yeah, thank you. We don't want to keep a barrier between us and each other and God. So let's get rid of all of these things. If only it was that easy. So remember, verse 25, we are members of one body. Chapters 1 to 3, we have the Holy Spirit to help us. We are not alone. Okay? So, in trying to do these things, Paul said we must not grieve the Holy Spirit and put off anger, rage, bitterness, slander, and malice. And so he's putting that all together. Remember, don't ignore the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Then we can start to put all these things off. God can help us. And then instead, we have to put on kindness, compassion, forgiving one another just as Christ forgave us. That's what it says in verse 32. And with the Holy Spirit put on, when we're not ignoring, grieving the Holy Spirit, then we can be kind, compassionate, and forgiving. Forgiveness is hard, though, isn't it? So not only do we have to get rid of all the bitterness, anger, and everything, but we also have to forgive. This really does seem quite impossible. So thanks, Jeff, again, for leaving these ones for me. But the point is, it's even harder if we've not received an apology. I struggle with this. I really struggle with this. But I have seen how it can lead to bitterness and resentful in my own life if I don't forgive even people who have not apologized to me, even people who have kept on doing the same painful things to me day after day. And I'm not talking about my husband at all. I'm talking about other people. It does happen sometimes. There are people who can, whenever you see them, still bear a grudge. They haven't dealt with their anger. And we have to forgive them, even if they don't say sorry. How do we do this? Well, an example that helps me day after day is from Corrie ten Boom. I don't know if you know her. She was a Dutch Christian who, with her family, she helped about 800 Jews escape the Nazi Holocaust during World War II. She survived it, one of the very few in her whole family, to teach the gospel with an emphasis on forgiveness. And her books, The Hiding Place and Tramp for the Lord, are incredible examples of showing the way of Christ's love. I really recommend them. Even now, they're incredible books. And they're true. This is based on true stories. But this story is what this really helps me. Her and her sister Betsy were imprisoned in Ravenbrook's camp, where Betsy died before Corrie was later released. And she tells a story in Germany in 1947, where she was approached by a former Ravensbrück camp guard who had been one of the cruelest guards there. And this is what she wrote. "It was at a church service in Munich that I saw him. A former SS man who had stood guard at the shower room door in the processing center at Ravensbrück. He was the first of our actual jailers that I had seen since that time. And suddenly, it was all there. The room full of mocking men, their heaps of clothing, Betsy's pain-blanched face. He came up to me as church was emptying, beaming and bowing. 'How grateful I am for your message, Fraulein,' he said. 'To think that, as you say, he has washed my sins away.' His hand was thrust out to shake mine. And I, who had preached so often to people about the need to forgive, kept my hand by my side. Even as the angry, vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them. Jesus Christ had died for this man. Was I going to ask for more? Lord Jesus, I prayed, forgive me and help me to forgive him. I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand. I could not. I felt nothing, not the slightest spark of warmth or charity. And so again I breathed a silent prayer. Jesus, I prayed, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness. As I took his hand, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder, along my arm, and through my hand, a current seemed to pass from me to him, while into my heart sprang a love for this stranger that almost overwhelmed me. And so I discovered that it is not on our forgiveness, any more than on our goodness, that the world's healing hinges, but on Christ's. When Christ tells us to love our enemies, Christ gives, along with the command, the love itself. Now, being an imitator of Christ, as Paul encourages us to be in chapter 5, verse 1, means living a life of love and sacrifice just as Christ loved us, as it states in verse 2. And that's a great example of this. Because living a life of love is not easy, as we see what Jesus went through. But with God's help, it is transforming, renewing, and life-changing. Now, we don't have to, thankfully, have gone through the Holocaust or endured crucifixion to live lives of love and to live Christ's way, to love our enemies, to say sorry or to forgive. But if we do have to go through difficulties in doing this, we can know that when we pray, God will give us miraculously the love we need to be there and be with us. And I have seen that in my own life. So more practically this week, exercise number 2. Let's try to put away our anger and wrath, perhaps first by reminding of ourselves of the destructive and vengeance, the destructive nature of anger, and that vengeance is God's only. And then engaging in our spiritual disciplines, such as prayer, reading the Bible, fellowship, not only during term or work time or difficult times or Sundays, but regularly. So let's try this week, each day, to spend 10 minutes only, with God, reading scripture, anything, and in prayer 5 minutes with somebody. Now that's only 15 minutes. We can do this. We can all do this. I'm going to try it too. Paul was challenging the Ephesians to grow spiritually. And a commentator stated, "Being right and hanging out with people who all agree with me all the time is easy. Staying part of a community in which I'm challenged every day to be gentle, forgiving, forbearing is a lot more difficult." Amen to that. But we're thankful we've got a great community here. But still, but he continues to say, "But being part of such a struggling, wrestling, messy community as is the Christian church is the only recipe I know for spiritual growth and maturity. So let's hang in there. Let's bear with each other. Not only the people who we agree with or who are like us, but with all of our community. And then let's do that with people around us, not even in our community, but in our towns, in our places of work or learning or wherever we go out." Because as Paul writes about putting off and giving up some things and not doing them anymore, such as falsehood, lying, stealing, rage, bitterness, anger, all that grieves the Holy Spirit. This is what we can help each other to do. And then instead, we can take up more Christ-like ways, building each other up, being kind, compassionate, truthful, forgiving each other, even if we don't get an apology, living the agape, self-sacrificial love that Paul talks about here in this chapter. And this encourages us to take up the challenge that our character can be changed. We are not fated to always act or speak certain ways. We can become more Christ-like, more like God, if we train to be. We don't need to train like the Olympians even, 15 minutes a day. We are to be imitators of God. Amen? Amen.